Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to IBD Live. It's Ali Corum here, Executive Editor of Multimedia at IBD. And joining me on the panel today, or rather, I am joining two people who beat me to the punch here, Chris Gessel, our Chief Content Officer, also David Saito Chung, Deputy Markets Editor. Great to see you on a Monday, Dave.
Thank
also,
you. Great to see you.
Yeah. Justin Nielsen, our market research director. Hey guys, and hope everyone out there had a great weekend. And in Dark Ops, we are joined by Ken and Webby and perhaps some other teammates as well. And Ken has the morning headlines soon, and we'll get the tickers from the team here shortly. But first, as always, a couple of things to go over with everyone. We are accepting questions and comments in the Q&A, and we always love to interact with you every day. Just be aware that we can't get to all of your questions, even though we wish we could. You only see the ones that are answered, not the hundreds of unanswered questions that get submitted each day, but we do our absolute best to focus on the stocks and strategies most relevant to the current market. Now, regarding the Q&A, IBD does not provide any individualized or personal investment advice. We can answer any question that reflects your individual situation, needs, or objectives. So please, when asking a question, do not give us any information about your personal situation or your portfolio holdings. And IBD Live is for informational and educational purposes only. Please make sure to do your own research before making any trade. We are not making trade recommendations. So with all of that, let's see. Chris, kick us off. What are you looking at today? And you're on mute.
Just the way we like them.
All right, I'll try to be quiet. Fix Comfort Systems. So it's been hanging around the 21 day most of last week, and we'll see if it can break above there.
All right. Sounds good. FIX and Justin.
It looks kind of similar, but I'm going to go with Teradyne. I'm really kind of interested in those stocks that have held up well regarding their Monday lows from last week. So Teradyne was one.
Okay. TER. And Dave, what do you have your eye on?
You know, Allie, I think the gold and silver stocks have lost some serious short-term momentum. So I want to talk about at least two of them, AEM, that's Agnico Eagle. And then let's go to the letter B, Barrick, please.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Thanks so much. And now over to Ken for the morning headlines. Take it away, Ken. Fill us in.
I am here. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, let's take a look at futures here. And we do have pretty good gains to start off the day here. Let me just get a quick look and see what is going on here. We do have nice gains to start the morning here. Let me just a little bit behind this morning. And let's take a look at futures. IWM is leading the way here. 1.4% is the gain for small caps here. The Qs not far behind, up 1.1%, S&P 500 futures up 0.9%, and Dow futures up 0.8% or so. We've got oil prices under some pressure here, down 3.5% or so at last check, down to about $95.5 a barrel. That 10-year treasury yield, which has spiked over the past 2 weeks, that was down at last check, down 3 basis points to 4.25% ahead of the start of the two-day Federal Reserve meeting. That meeting starts Tuesday. We'll get that decision on interest rates Wednesday at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Fed is going to stand pat. Market right now only expecting one rate cut this year, maybe only one rate cut next year. So that rate cut scenario has really changed. Market worried a little bit at this point about stagflation with the oil situation and oil prices staying high with this Iran conflict. The U.S. did attack This Iran exporting island, Karg Island, on Friday night. They did attack there, but the U.S. is letting Iran export some oil, you know, on the Strait of Hormuz. Oil is making its way to China, for example. So the U.S. is conscious of they do want the world to be supplied some oil. President Trump is trying to drum up some support to get some the allies to send some chips to, some ships to get oil to, or to get countries to help, you know, just to get traffic flowing at the Strait of Hormuz. So did get some economic data before the open here. Empire State Manufacturing Index at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That unexpectedly contracted. Market does not seem to mind. It was expected to come in at plus 3.9. It came in at minus 0.2. So again, market shrugging that off after some harsh selling on Friday. GLD, take a look at GLD. That is not moving much. It is flattish today. We do have gold down 1% near $5,000 an ounce. Lots of top-rated gold stocks. Hatman's going to talk about that. Lots. We were talking about that on Friday. Lots of top-rated gold stocks below their 50-day lines on Friday. Some still holding there. Take a look at SLV. That was recently down 1% in pre-market trading, with silver down 2.7%, just over $79 an ounce. IBIT making a nice move at last check, up 3%. Bitcoin in rally mode again. IBIT could try to make a run at Friday's high. So watching Bitcoin trying to rally off of lows after a pretty harsh sell-off. Okay, Nvidia. That's a top gainer on leaderboard in the early going. At last check, Nvidia was up 1.8%. The company's GTC Developers Conference getting underway today. That's going to go through Thursday. Jensen Huang's keynote starts today at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Great story on the homepage of investors.com by Reinhard Krauss on how it's data center networking strategy, for example, it could impact a name like Arista Networks, and how its push into optical interconnect has ramifications for Lumentum. So, going to be a very informative keynote today by Jensen Huang. And again, that's going to be going on over the next 4 days. So, we'll see how NVIDIA trades today. Good segue into Nebius, NBIS. This is the AI infrastructure. You might remember NVIDIA just signed a $2 billion deal with NBIS. I believe it was just last week, or maybe a couple of weeks ago. NBIS is up 14% again in pre-market trading because they just signed an AI infrastructure deal with Meta Platforms. This is a 5-year supply deal worth up to $27 billion. So, NBIS is still, you know, working on the right side of a base here. It is making another big pre-market gain here. So, this is probably a good watch list stock as it forms the right side of a base here. Very compelling fundamental story here. Big data center operator. All right, let's take a look at some earnings reports here. Volatile IPO, Forgent Power Solutions, FPS, at last check. I think this was making a pretty nice pre-market gain here. This is a provider of electrical distribution equipment to data centers. Let's see how it is doing. Up, yeah, maybe 4.5%. It is liquid. It is trading in pre-market. Revenue here was up 69% year over year. It was about 10 million above consensus. The midpoint of full year revenue guidance was just a little bit above consensus. B of A Securities initiates with a buy rating and a 48 price target. You can see the stock is trading around 32 in pre-market trading. We did give this one a shot on leaderboard, got shaken out of it during the volatility last week, quite wide and loose, you can see. We'll see where it where it opens. And it did try to break out of an IPO last week, but very volatile stock. Take a look at Dollar Tree, DLTR. That was trading higher in pre-market trading. The numbers were just okay here. EPS up 21% year over year. Revenue up 9%, mostly in line with expectations. Their guidance for the current quarter and full year, mostly in line with expectations, trying to firm up at the 200-day moving average. Take a look at some earnings reports this week. Monday, today, after the close, Semtech, SMTC in the chip space. I think this one is still trying to, firming up at the 50-day moving average. Really nice performer in the semiconductor, same industry group as NVIDIA. They report after the close today. On Tuesday, big performer. I think Dave Chung was talking about this stock too, ESLT recently. ESLT reporting tomorrow before the open. Really, really strong performer in the defense group. And then, of course, Wednesday, we have Micron after the close. Great front page feature in IBD Weekly over the weekend on these memory and storage companies. Micron reporting Wednesday after the close. In the contract manufacturing group, Wednesday morning, we have Jabil, JBL. That'll be an interesting report. And then Thursday, one of the great price performers in the market, FedEx, FDX. Look at how well FedEx has been doing in the market. FDX reports Thursday after the close, coming down and testing that 50-day moving average. So those are the look at earnings reports this week. Still have some companies strong price performance reporting this week, Allie.
Right.
Send it back over to you.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Let's turn our attention to analyzing current market conditions. Chris, I want to start with you. We do have a 1% gain here, the Nasdaq, disappointing action on Friday. I'm going to pull up my little markup tool just so people can see. We did get a close below that 200-day line, but if we take a look at the S&P 500, we got an undercut. So sort of a mixed bag here of where we stand with rally attempt and key levels. So what do you make of how we're starting the day today? It seems like it's a little bit of slim picking still in terms of individual stocks,
Yeah.
but if we do get a solid gain today, how would you be handling that?
I would still be cautious. I mean, the S&P undercut, so it cannot have a follow-through day. And I think the Nasdaq came within, I don't know, just a
A hair.
smidge.
Yeah, a smidge.
8 points
It
for
was very, very
22,000.
close. And but we still lowered exposure to 0 to 20% on Friday. So and I think I noted it last week. There were like at that time, going over the past 10 or 11 days, there were like 4 or 5 1% gains. And so we're at a 1% gain right here. A little more than that. Has that shown any power in the last, 6 weeks, 8 weeks? Not really. So, I mean, for me, I think getting above the 21-day, then the 50-day, I mean, kind of ramping these things up. And then ultimately, I mean, I'm not going to get completely aggressive until we break above those old highs and, hold them. Because we've just been through this for, since October of looks like everything's good. And then we get these pullbacks that knock so many stocks out. And I think you just got to be careful. I mean, I'm more, I've got Micron, and I don't have anything else right now. So
Well,
I'm
if you're
just
going to have
waiting.
one, this is a pretty
Yeah.
good one to have, Chris.
Which one? Yeah, that one's looking all right. So, but that's, I mean, that's just, so that's one out of, I don't know what the ratio is, but so many stocks do not look like this. And the majority do not, and they're having trouble gaining traction and getting ready to move. So I'm pulling off my hedge already this morning, and so I'll probably see how it handles itself coming up here, and probably take it all off at some point this morning.
Okay. And we talked last week about on Friday how good this was looking as a setup, a potential buying opportunity, except for market conditions and except for the earnings report out this week. So if the risk was elevated Friday, it's even more elevated on a day like today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a tough decision going into the weekend. You don't know what the news is going to be, and we could have been down 1% to start. And I know that Mike has said in the past he doesn't like it when you kick off the weekend with a I'm sorry, the week with
A
a
gap
gain
up.
of 1% or more. That gap ups on a Monday usually often don't hold. So we'll see how today goes. But a normal market kind of starts out soft in the morning and then builds during the day. I mean, when we're in a strong uptrend. So that's not what we're in right now.
Yeah, we're not. So question from Doug is, if we do get a follow-through day today and the Bill O'Neill IBD founder rule is you need to buy something on a follow-through day, what would you be buying, Chris?
Well, I would be, well, I might add to Micron, but there's a lot, there's actually a few stocks that are setting up. I see that Dell is trying to break out,
Go there.
but it's already, it's off its high, morning high. So I've got, watching that one there. There's a number of stocks. Karman is setting up, but it's got earnings coming up, soon. So, 9 days, that's probably okay. But it's not breaking out yet. And I think Ciena's making a move as well. CIEN.
Yeah.
And popping above those levels from last week. So that looks good.
All right. Well, a couple of watch list names for the audience, or ready list names for the audience, depending on how the day goes today. Thank you, Chris. We'll get back to you with more soon. Justin, I want to get your perspective, the market school perspective on the market action here.
Yeah, so again, it bothers me when you kind of have a lot of the indexes failing, right? You had the S&P 500 fail. Not that we look at it that much, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that failed, that undercut its Monday low. And I think also more importantly to me, it's because we've been watching it so closely, is the Invesco Equal Weighted S&P 500 RSP that failed. And there's a lot of these areas that were holding up so well. Take your XLP, for instance. That's the consumer staples select spider. That failed like before Friday, right? You had all the indexes kind of fail. So some of the things that were working, not that we look for follow-through days on these, but the fact that, a lot of the areas that were working, undercut even before Friday, just kind of showed how it started to really become very slim pickings in terms of anything at all that was working. So when you kind of see a lot of that happening, it's hard to kind of say, oh, but look, the Nasdaq had its 8 points out of, 22,000, that it held. And I also, I'm actually kind of doing a query in my database right now to see, hey, do we have any follow-through days where the low gets tested like that? I also just don't think of follow-through days happening so low in the range. So again, if you kind of make a little bit of progress from your rally day, your day one, I just can't think of many follow-through days where the look is that it comes back in and the follow-through day is like, low in that rally day range. So those are a few things that just, again, don't seem right to me. I'm gonna again do a query in my database and see if I can find anything that looks similar. And if I find anything, I'll definitely share that. So, but again, it just that's not the norm. And so, still, as much as I don't necessarily think that we have high hopes for a follow through day, even if it technically happens of it working, that doesn't mean I stay completely away and stop looking. Just like how Chris had a few stocks, kind of at the top of his mind where, hey, these are some things that are holding up. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the things that are holding above their last Monday lows. I'm looking for the things that have held above their 21-day moving average lines. In fact, I think Chris did the IBD Live lists on Friday, the ready and the watch list. And one of the things I was noting about a number of the ready list stocks is it's stocks that have come back to their 50-day moving average lines, but are kind of holding up a little bit better. So those are some, those are some areas that I'm watching. In the same way, when we have a rough day, I'm always looking at the stocks that are closing a little bit higher in the range, the ones that were able to kind of show a little bit of strength on weekdays. That's what I'm kind of looking for right now. The ones that have just held up a little bit better, the ones that have held their 50-day moving average lines, the ones that have held their 21-day moving average lines. And those are kind of going to be my go-tos because if we do turn around, a lot of times those with the best relative strength, and the relative strength line is so important in that regard. It tells you so much. Those are often the ones that become your next round of leaders.
Exactly, because I think sometimes we, in hindsight, after a follow-through day, we look back and we say, oh, well, look at this stock. It broke out before the follow-through day. It was leading and gave you those signals before we got the signal on the market level. So I think we have been pointing out those names that have been setting up. Like you said, Chris gave a handful. One that comes to mind in particular for me, because I bought it last week, is SanDisk. Look how nice this is looking. Bought on that reversal day to kick off the week, double bottom type formation here, and now looks like it's clearing that 691 high. So there are some of these names that are working, and I was adding to it last week because it was working. So you do, and I think one of the reasons why I was attracted to it was not only did it bounce off of a level that I really like to buy off of, you look at how the stock performed headed into that. This has been a leader versus a turnaround. I'm not quite as good at catching those turnaround names, but this is an established leader of the current cycle, strong fundamentals as well. So I would say this is up there with a number of those other names that we've discussed so far this morning.
I'm right with you there, Allie. I bought the next day. I was still a little nervous on the first day, but I did buy on the next day. And it's one of, maybe three positions, small positions that I have right now. But I did get, I kind of went back and forth between STX and WDC myself during that run, and The whole time I was looking at SanDisk and Micron as like, well, those are the ones I wish I had, kind of thing. So, yeah, when there was an opportunity, and that's sometimes what you have to do, for the ones that you miss, you have to just be keeping your eye on, the next opportunity, because a lot of times they do come. And if you're not there, even when it's scary, again, I didn't want to miss it again. So I at least wanted to get a kind of toehold.
Well, I definitely did not type November 5th, 1984 on the chart. But alas.
Hey, you know what? That's always fun to revisit the 80s.
Yeah,
Sometimes
there
I
you
like to do
go.
that with my workout music. Why not with our stocks?
Yeah.
I heard Jacob Elordi had a mullet going on during the Oscars too. I don't know if anyone paid attention to that
Yeah,
80s
mullets.
thing.
Mullets and mustaches apparently have been making a comeback. But at any rate, Dave.
I'll have to break out my pictures of a mullet and mustache from maybe not the
Yes.
80s, but the early 90s.
And fanny pack, right?
And fanny pack.
And
Yeah, can't
fanny
forget the
pack.
fanny pack.
Yes, I think you
Ne
have sent
neon
us.
colors, neon colors.
Yeah, love it. Okay, Dave, give us your thoughts on the market here and the leaderboard perspective on the market action.
Yeah, a lot of questions regarding leaderboard, given that it is at a low exposure level, Allie. Before anything else, I just want to offer a sincere thank you to all of you who on IB Live who also happened to sacrifice some of your Saturday afternoon time to join me and Scott St. Clair for our latest webinar. And we had really a great time addressing hundreds of almost 120 such interactions, questions in the Q&A. It kind of felt, Allie, like a IBD Live Saturday edition.
Love it.
And so going back to the
Just really
market.
quickly, if I could, if you
Oh
miss
yeah.
Saturday's workshop, you can still watch it on demand.
Yes.
So check that out. And if you attended Saturday, you can also watch it on demand. So yeah, if you participated in the workshop, you have access to review all of those great insights over and over again. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, no, thank you. And indeed, we hope to get the continued feedback from people who watch it and rewatch it and say, hey, I'd like to hear more about this topic. It seemed like our discussion on building positions as well as trying to develop a long-term conviction in the best stocks seemed to really resonate with a lot of people. Now, when we go back to the market, I feel like 2026 has already been one of the most interesting years as a journalist and as a fellow investor in growth stocks, because there have been just so many crosswinds regarding concerns over the Middle East, commodities, interest rates, earnings, and how long and strong the U.S. market has been. I find it kind of interesting that none of these major indexes that we've looked at have actually broken the 200-day, and normally, when we break the 200-day and we keep going further south, I think there's usually a unanimous decision that we are in a serious correction. But if you look at the NYSE composite, Allie, if you look at, I guess it's NYC on beta. Is it NYC? Okay, NYA, my bad. It is NYA. There we go. NYA or New York Composite has actually only, quote unquote, corrected 5.4%. That seems more like a pullback, a healthy pullback after a really long advance than a serious down and dirty correction. If you look at the NASDAQ, we are down 8.2% at that one of those two lows that Chris was teasing us with. Did we undercut the low? Did we not undercut the low? Essentially, we hit lows for a long time, and we under you know we tested that November low too. So this has been a healthy pullback, healthy shakeout. Is this a correction? I would say yes. I think there was a correction in the NASDAQ more so than the NYSE, because we really counted a lot of 1% plus distribution days, and it's going to take a long time before we clear those out. So, from that perspective, certain sectors have really gotten hit on the chin, whereas others have had some nice moves. So depending on like what sectors that you've really focused on, you could be having still a really good year doing better than the indexes, or you could be struggling, like myself, because I've struggled this year because I haven't really been able to find a lot of new winners to force me to either reduce severely or get rid of the stocks that have really done well for me over the past couple of years.
Excuse me. Dave, so if we do get a follow-through day today, what would be at the top of your buy list?
I think right now it still would be AI related tech, Allie. I'm not interested really so much in the commodities, although I'm always keeping an open eye. One stock that I'm watching really closely, I have a tiny, tiny position here, is SQM, because lithium might be gathering a little more steam. So SQM's got like a double bottom like look to it. I decided to buy a little bit on the shakeout plus three sort of buy point, which is kind of close to that 50 day. Retail doesn't seem that exciting to me, unfortunately. Although, when you look at something like Tapestry, TPR, I've been really impressed with that one. Kind of a K-shape recovery play, Allie, right? This one's been doing better than a lot of other retails that we've done. So Tapestry looks very interesting. The company's earnings line, you look at that on the weekly chart, really strong. It kind of reminds me of the 2000s when Coach was a rage. So I think there are names out there. You just have to be very, very selective and make sure that you stick with your knitting in terms of buy rules, sell rules.
And as
All
a reminder
right.
for folks, that SQM, it is one of I think it's the number two lithium miner, if I'm not mistaken. But it's
Yeah, one of the
also
biggest.
it's also a fertilizer play. So it's sometimes hard to tell where the strength is coming from. Is it from its fertilizer business or its lithium business? It seems crazy that it has both, but there it is. Allie, one more
Yeah,
thing. I'm
please do.
noticing in the Q&A that a lot of folks are saying follow through day. What is this? So maybe we should go back a little
Sure,
bit and define
certainly.
and we can use the Nasdaq as an example. When we talk about a follow through day, what we're looking for, the way I always think of it is back to your geometry, right? For any line that you form, you're required to have 2 points. And so if we're going to say that a potential uptrend has started, and notice I say potential, it's not guaranteed. A lot of follow-through days do fail. But if we're going to have a potential follow-through day, we want to see, 1 point and then another point. And ideally, those points are kind of, showing that the trend has potentially changed here. So we start with a rally day. So you've been pulling back in the market. You start with a rally day. That could just be a day that's up. Or it could be a day where you come off your lows considerably. So you're down for the day, but you close in the upper half of the range. We call that a pink rally day. Okay, so now once you have your rally day amidst a pullback or downtrend, once you have your rally day, you start counting. That becomes your day one. And then once you get to day four or higher, we look for a day of power. Now the rule is, the rule for a long time was 1% on volume that is higher than the day before. I've done a study that shows, especially now, dollar volume is actually a little bit of a better thing to use than trading volume. We are working on getting dollar volume as one of the factors that you can look at for your volume. But trading volume is what has always been used in the past. So you want to see volume heavier than the day before. Webby, cover your ears, because we're talking about volume. But those are the things that you
I
right.
already did.
Yeah, Ben. So those are the components, and you want to see a day of power. It should be a day of power. So 1% is what was used for a long time, and then in the late 90s, early 2000s, Bill O'Neill, the founder of Investor's Business Daily and the creator of the follow-through day concept, recognized the extra volatility, and so he kept on kind of moving that up. He went to 1.7. I think it was at 2.1 at one point, then down to 1.25%. When we were doing our market school rules, we kind of basically said, okay, let's look at the volatility of a certain period, and just how much movement there is, especially on the up days. And we said, okay, based on that, we came up with different levels. So right now, we would be looking for a 1%. We don't look for more than a 1.25. Of course, these were rules that we, put into place, gosh, 15 years ago. So, if we had to do it again, Mike certainly would, maybe go a little bit more towards leaning on the ATR, the average true range. But that's, right now 1% is what we would need. So once you have that floor established with your low and your rally day, you want to stay above that. If you undercut it, your rally fails. If you don't undercut, you keep on counting. So last Monday was day one. You count day two, kind of, came up, closed higher, but really kind of lost a lot of ground from its highs. Same thing with day three. Day four, distribution day, kind of an ugly day. Day five, barely holding, above the low. And today would be day six. And again, the count is still valid for the NASDAQ, but as we noted, a lot of the other indexes have already failed. And
And when one
it's
index fails, it doesn't wipe everything for all indexes. Then
exactly. It
you can
doesn't.
have a
Yeah,
divergence.
it doesn't. But I will say, the most powerful rallies are the ones where you kind of
Sure.
have everybody rowing in the same
Oh,
direction.
yeah.
And it might happen within days of each other, but it usually, again, they're usually all kind of holding above their lows and making that progress. A good example is back in the COVID era, the S&P 500 had its follow-through day on April 2nd, and the NASDAQ had its follow-through day on April 6th. So that's just again, a reminder of the follow-through day concept there.
Right. Thank you for that, Justin. Okay, moving on. Chris, we're getting a lot of questions on Tower Semiconductor up 9.6% here. What do you think about this move?
I mean, the gap up looks good. Again, if we were in a stronger market, I would say, I mean, one of the let me see, TSM. TSEM, sorry. So, boy, my charts aren't updating on Thinkorswim, so that's weird. I mean, what I would be looking at, let's go to the 15-minute chart.
You betcha.
All right. So I would put an alert at the high, the opening high there. And because I've seen a lot of times where stocks might bounce around after gapping up, but if they can take out that first 15-minute high, that's usually a good sign. And so that's where I would put an alert for myself. In this market, I can't say that I'm that aggressive right now on a move like this, but maybe if you start with a smaller position and then build up as it if it can really take off, that would be good. I mean, most everything that I've tried buying in the last, week or two, I don't have them anymore because all of them have hit my stop. So that's why I'm a little reluctant to do anything right now.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Okay, Dave, you said AI tech. Let's go to NBIS. Look at
Yeah,
this.
impressive, Allie.
That's right in on that theme, and it's a rocket.
It sure has. I would definitely put this on the front burner of your AI tech stock watch list. Notice that it kind of reminds me, Allie, of an earnings gap, but it hasn't broken out really, honestly, when you talk about a breakout out of the base, it's sort of setting up that potential breakout. But we've got two gap ups in the past 4 days. That's definitely bullish, isn't it?
It is. So are those buyable gaps or no?
Well, in hindsight, obviously the one on Wednesday was, right? Because we cleared some short-term resistance levels, around 108, 110 or so. And now at this point, I would advise to just keep watching it here. Maybe you buy just a couple of shares just so that it keeps your antenna up real high on this stock, and see if it holds in the next couple of days or so within the high and low of today. That might offer a couple of things. One, that the demand is really still strong in the stock, and two, that those who bought are not willing to sell. So given the news that Ken highlighted with the huge deal with Meta, 20 up to 27 billion, of course, that's probably, it's not like they're writing a check for 27 billion today, right? It's probably over a long period of time. Nonetheless, if that's really going to happen, look at those sales numbers right now. It's probably running at a billion or so, trailing 12 months. If they get even half of that 27 billion, that's a game changer for this company.
Yeah, okay. So you think it warrants, if anything, a few shares to keep it on the radar. Is that because this isn't your super high quality elite name in the AI space? Or
Well,
what would you say?
I didn't really mean that. I mean, I think it is elite because one, you see a stock that went from a prior breakout. Maybe if we could go to the weekly chart, we get a better sense
Yeah.
of the arc. Yeah, the arc of this move. And so it was a very deep cup. It sort of moved sideways after it cleared 51, 52, and then almost tripled. So to me, that's a leader for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more of just how far it's moved in the last week and a day that you would want to go a little smaller with something like this.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I think, let's say I made a full position right now. Let's say anyone made a full position right now, and then it undercuts the low of this week, and then you take a 7% loss, then you get stung, right? And then you might feel that, wow, and this is something I talked about on Saturday, your pride, your fear, your emotions might get you in the way of buying it the second time if and when the stock really takes off from here.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Quick note for everyone. Couple of folks asked for Market Surge, the new charts, if they could have my settings for the RS moving averages and the price moving averages that I have here, and they want to know how to add them. So I am pleased to let you know that our awesome coaches created a video exactly covering this. So if you go to the resource section and then video tutorials, you can find it. But if you want the direct link, just let us know in the chat and we will send you the direct link. And then you'll be able to set up your charts just like how we have them on IBD Live. And Webby is who I copied the settings from. So these RS moving averages on all the different time frames, those are coming from his settings and more to come as we add more indicators and things that we are all looking at internally. So super excited about that. And we also are getting questions about the font size for this upper area. For me, I'm on a Mac. And using Chrome, I'm pointing my cursor right here to this little magnifying glass. If you want to bump up the font size, that is how you can do that right there, at least on Chrome. And I'm sure other browsers have something similar. So just some tidbits there. All right, Justin, over to you. You wanted to take a look at Teradyne this morning. So let's go there and check in.
Yeah, it was certainly fairly impressive how well the chips, were holding up overall through this. Again, a lot of tech was getting hit, but we were looking at SMH for a while, and it was finding support at the 50-day moving average line. Now that kind of ended last week, or maybe Friday before that, and as it fell below the 50-day moving average line, started spending more time below the 21-day moving average line. But relative to a lot of things out there, this has held up, a little bit better. And if you look at some individual names in here, there's some impressive, again, relative strength. So I would put Teradyne in that bucket. It got support at its 50-day moving average line. So I'm always trying to be aware, again, whether it's in sector, a sector that has dropped below its 50-day moving average line, and the stocks that didn't, those are potential leaders of that sector, or the entire market, and the stocks that are holding above their 50-day moving average line. So Teradyne definitely fits the bill there. And now with, again, a lot of these areas undercutting the Monday low, I'm particularly interested in those that didn't, and Teradyne fits the bill in that regard too. So I think this 300 level is an area of interest. You can see how it crossed above that level, touched it, very briefly in February. After it first crossed 300, it came and kind of settled right there at 300. Made a little bit of a move up to 344, and it looked like it was getting support at 300. Again, you have those 3 days a couple weeks ago where it kind of the lows kept on hitting 300, but it was getting kind of support. You had the bounce off the 50-day moving average line. Again, 300 became a level where it kind of just gravitated towards, and we're right there again. So I'm very interested to see how Teradyne handles itself around this 300 level. Because again, it's just it. Looking at the chart, that seems like an area it keeps on testing. So what becomes support, what's acting as resistance often becomes support, and what has been support is sometimes resistance. And so that seems like an area of resistance. If it can break through that, this is going to be one that is certainly of interest to me.
Okay. So someone in the Q&A asks us to remind folks what we're thinking about right now with these different setups in terms of position size. So what would you be going with something like this, Justin?
Right now, again, without a follow-through day, I tend to be doing more pilot positions, especially because, my drawdown since my peak of September 22nd, that's how long ago my equity curve high was. Because I'm kind of in a drawdown, I go a little bit lighter until I start making traction, start making progress. So, that might not be where everyone stands. And this is why sometimes the position size thing is a very personal thing, because it really kind of depends on how you're doing, your level of aggressiveness. Sometimes that's age related even. I feel like we tend to get a little less aggressive as we get older, because we start seeing that runway of time that we have left in order to come back from mistakes. That runway gets a lot shorter, right? So you have to make sure that you're minimizing, mistakes, especially big mistakes. You can kind of afford to do that when you're younger and learn from it, and make progress significantly after that. But as you get older, you don't want to make big mistakes. So again, because the drawdown that I'm in right now is more than I'd like, I'm being a lot less aggressive. Now, I'm saying that now, but that can change very quickly. Sometimes if things are lining up in a way, I can move fairly quickly and get right back in. In a few days, I can go from, minimal exposure to 100%. I don't use margin because I'm using mostly retirement accounts to do my trading. So I love the tax benefits that come with those, and so that's where I do the majority, vast majority of my trading. I would say 90, 98% or higher. And so yeah, that's but for me, like a position size right now, for the account, maybe, a 2.5%, position is where I'm going. And sometimes when I say in the account, I might not do it in all the accounts. So it's not a 2.5% position of my entire portfolio. Sometimes I'll start it in one account and see, hey, can I get traction here? And then, I start putting it into the other accounts as well. And I think I
Great.
have like five accounts right now.
Nice. All right. Chris, you mentioned Sienna towards the beginning of the show as a watch list name for you, and it's pretty much a day high here, up 6.3%. So let's talk about it a little bit more in terms of if it's actionable, if today's a follow-through day, and what how would you be sizing your position in this stock?
What I'd be doing as far as size is probably doing a 2.5% position. So,
2.5% position.
there's some volume behind it, which is good to see. This is really the first pullback since it broke out of the that ascending base. So I like that. I wish I had gotten it a week or two ago, but I mean, at that point, I just didn't have the confidence in it at all. So the I think this is completely actionable right here, right now. But for me, given where we are in the market, I wouldn't be going larger at this point.
Okay. I also want to change this to the track price. So it looks like we're currently about 10.1% above the 21-day. This has a 21-day ATR of about 7.6%. So keeping that in
Yeah,
mind in terms of
I
how
mean
many
that's another
ATRs
reason
above.
to go a little smaller because it's not the worst. It's not like 10%, but it's fairly high, and that can flip on you in a moment.
Would you say, Chris, that this is increasingly becoming the clear leader in this industry group? I know, isn't Lumentum, that's also another one in this group. It's not at the highs like Sienna is. So.
I mean, it's definitely both of them have had their times where one is leading, the other is not, so they kind of go back and forth, but at least right now Sienna seems to be the leader.
Okay. So that's a look at Sienna. Dave, let's switch things up a little bit. You wanted to talk about gold. We know our audience has been interested in this space, for quite a
Absolutely.
while with gold's long-term leadership in recent years. What do you make of the current action here?
Well, right now the futures show gold coming off the early morning lows, which is positive, and silver actually turning positive after being down somewhere between 0.5, 0.6% in the pre-market before the stock market opened. We are at $81.43 an ounce on silver, so we're actually up a little bit. Gold just down 0.5%. I'm really curious about how the gold miners are going to handle these tests for most of them around their 50 days, such as AEM. That's one that I'm really watching closely. I think that's
Okay, let's go
a
there.
leader within the group. Stock that was formerly on leaderboard. You can see even on your daily chart, a superb move from whatever breakout you used, say the 140 up to 255, really, really strong move. And then you had that long draw the line breakout that you showed right there. And so this is a key area to determine whether the stock is going to continue to forged this relatively nice steady uptrend of higher highs, higher lows. If we look at B, I think B already undercut this 50-day sharply. So I've always been curious to see whether this will be a 200-day test. And
Which
B is
one?
for B,
B,
just the letter B,
Barrick.
Barrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see now it's kind of in that no. Some of you like to use no trader's land. I don't like to discriminate, therefore I use a no man's land, so I use no trader's land.
You know what? I can tell you no man's land does not offend me. So if you want
Oh,
to, if
okay.
I, as a woman, I
All
give you
right.
permission to
Thank you,
say no
Allie.
man's land.
I've been a kind of a I've been a stickler for that for years on this show. Any case, when you get a stock caught between the 50 and 200 day, you kind of I think the chart's waters become a little murky. Is a stock going to rally back to the 50 day? Is it going to move sideways in between those two key technical levels, or in fact, is it resting on is just cooling off before it goes to another plunge right to the 200 day? So when you look at that day-to-day action in Barrick. Just 5 days. If you could point 4 days ago, please, Allie. 4 or 5 days ago, you see how it tried to rally for a third straight day, and it refused to hop back above the 50. That to me was a tell, you
Yeah.
know. And look at the relative strength line on your chart. That relative strength line shows
Rolling over.
lower lows, lower highs, and so I would not, at this point, I would not be buying a falling knife here, even if it's gold plated or silver. You know. Silver dipped, and just watch.
I'll just add 2 cents. It won't be a gold bar worth of commentary, but
Ha
it'll be a few cents. Although pennies are, they're too expensive to make now,
That's
apparently.
right.
All right.
Copper's still strong,
Copper.
Allie. Copper
Yeah.
is, I think it's still up for the year. Pretty decent double digit. I'll double check that. But right now, copper. If you use thinkorswim, it's slash HG, HG being the periodic table way to describe copper. Yeah, and it's up 1.2% today. And I think it's probably related to the fact that, you know, we have maybe some easing of tensions along the Hormuz Strait and trade and the excitement regarding the GTC conference, right? Because they're still going to use a lot of copper in those data centers, not just fiber optic.
Absolutely.
And you know what? There's a difference there. The periodic table HG is mercury. So, but in
Oh,
the
I'm sorry. You're right. That's
futures
CU.
HG, yeah, futures is HG because I think it stands for like high grade or something. I was always wondering like why is copper HG when
Jeopardy
that's the period
Justin.
when
You called
it is
it. Dave, you
mercury.
sold me on that.
I know I was selling myself. I mean, it's been a while since I've taken that. Yeah, that second year
Justin
chemistry
had
or
to
first
ruin
year
it.
chemistry. Thank you,
Yeah,
Justin.
I
No,
know
I appreciate it because
exactly.
I was in my own little
Made
delusion.
sense to me.
Yeah,
It
yeah.
made sense to me too, but then I was like, wait, no.
No, my
I had to
bad.
look it up. Why do they use HG for the futures?
Instead of
So,
CU, exactly.
yeah.
CU should be CU. Gosh, not my fault.
Yep, it's they made a silly
Yeah,
thing.
they should have gone with the other. Okay, I own a position in gold, so I would say for those out there who maybe have been in it since last summer, like me, I sort of made it my mission, I guess you could say, to treat gold a little differently as long as it didn't trigger my stop. But now that I'm up on it, to be more patient with it, because I feel like I kept getting shaken out of it, trying to trade it a little too actively. So I think as long as this uptrend holds, I'm still going to sit with my position that I've been in since last summer. Of course, looking back, there were some opportunities to take some profits into strength. If you're using an upper channel line that I drew sort of loosely here, but maybe there, I think buying this, adding on pullbacks versus the breakouts is the way to go. That's what helped me finally stay in it because I bought it off of the 50-day versus a breakout. Because if this has a nice long-term uptrend, but it forms a lot of bases along the way, and it's not like a growth stock where it always, the super strong ones hold above that 10-week. It will test you. So now that I finally got a toehold, I'm gonna stay in it as long as this uptrend stays intact. All right,
Well done
moving.
on that long-term hold, Allie, by the way. At longer term, if you
Yeah,
have long,
right. Yeah, I guess
not long-term
it's
capital gain yet. I mean, you
yeah,
got to
not
wait a
yet.
couple of months.
Right. Need a couple more months and then we'll see if I'm still in it. You never know. Let's go to Chris and Fix. You
Okay.
wanted to highlight comfort systems today. Tell us more. Holding nicely above that reversal day low from last week.
Right, exactly. And what I'd like to see is it take out the high from 3 days ago. Today it's just kind of holding, steady, not a lot of volume on it or anything like that. But if it can take out that high, I think that that would be actionable. And again, let's say the market's looking a little better, that would give me more desire to go for it. And if you look on, I mean, this one has made quite a move, but let's look at the weekly. So, it had its move off the bottom and made one base and kind of went back and forth and then finally broke out. So here it's pulling back, getting support. So I mean, it's really the first real test of the 10-week since that last base. So that makes me feel a little more confident about it.
Okay. So to reiterate where the buy point would be and position size, can you?
Well, what I'm really looking at that high from 3 days ago,
Okay.
right there.
So if it clears that, would you be doing a 2.5% position here?
Yeah,
Sorry, I've been
yeah.
looking at the chat and stuff. Okay. So 2.5% position, and then looking at the recent lows and that 21 day as your exit area, or what would you be using as your stop?
Let me look. Probably around maybe the low of Wednesday's low. So, yeah, where you've got your line there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, this has that triple digit growth. So the fundamentals that we really like to see, in addition to that really nice uptrend here. So one to watch. All right. Thank you, Chris. Let's go next to Justin and Kava. Questions on this one that we looked at on the Friday SMT, I think week before last, and then I think we were going to look at it on
We were going
Friday,
to, but
but
then it was like, oh,
we just looked at
we
it.
just did that. Yeah. So,
Yeah, well, we'll look at it now because it's having a great morning, perhaps an alternative pivot that it's clearing. What say you?
yeah. So it's definitely of interest. And look, let's go back to the weekly chart real quick, take a step back, because this
Yeah.
certainly got a lot of attention. It had this, phenomenal uptrend. We were talking about it like every day on IVD Live here. A lot of us, I was a little late in actually even trying it, but I liked it. It was good, and more importantly, I owned the stock and it was going up. So that made me like the taste, I think, even more, maybe. But then it had that earnings report that
Yeah.
really kind of stuck out, and it
In a
was
bad way.
in a bad way, because yes, it was up significantly and just closed really poorly, and that was it. The stock just couldn't do anything after
I'm
that.
actually going to show everyone a really cool feature of these charts. We
Yes.
can go back in time and look at that. So I just scrolled back, and there you have it.
It's really nice and convenient, instead of, because look, sometimes that change date feature, you don't type it right, but when something's that close, to just be able to kind of pan back, so much easier. So I'm glad you showed that. So, and you can also very slowly go forward too, right? Instead of continuing to change the date, you can kind of just pan forward and see how things play out. But yeah, once it had that earnings reaction and shortly after
Broke.
fell below its 50-day moving average line, it just really couldn't do much. It got back above the 50-day line briefly, and then it just stayed there, for the most part, and under the 200-day line. So why the interest now? Well, it's showing signs of a turnaround. When it gets to back above the 200-day, I'll be honest with you, I generally am not looking at stocks below the 200-day moving average line. But once they get back above both the 50-day and 200-day line, then I start looking at bottoming bases. And I think Ken maybe did a podcast with me a while back on
He
bottoming
did.
bases.
He did.
So so that's something you can take a look at. Not something we do very frequently, but you have seen some of those appear on leaderboard and again some of our lists at times. So that's kind of what this looked like. And this last earnings report, a very big move, unlike that one that we pointed to, it closed well. It closed at the top of its range. And lately, what it's been doing, it's just been kind of holding that huge gain that it got from that last earnings report. And that's one of the things that sticks out to me when a stock is able to take that higher valuation and investors are comfortable with it at that higher valuation. A lot of times you almost expect it to fill in the gap, which this started coming in a little bit, but it immediately got support. And for such a big gain to hold the majority of that is, I think, very strong. And so now, today it's having a good day. It's looking like it's going to challenge that previous high. And so again, on the weekly chart, that's a good look to me when it's able to have such a big move on a weekly bar and hold tight. And so that's what this did. Now, the earnings, I'll say, I mean, I'd have to kick the tires a little bit on that earnings report. What was so spectacular, with it still, not growing its earnings? What was it about that, report that was spectacular? But again, the sometimes the chart action is what starts me getting interested in a stock, and then the delving into it like gives me a little bit more confidence and conviction. But certainly the chart action is what got my attention here.
All right, so is it Bible?
Again, this is not my typical, but I do think again I'd want to find out a little bit more about what it was about the earnings report that was so spectacular. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times I will cheat and use Gemini, have AI do a little digging for me. That would be kind of a deciding factor for me. But certainly on the chart basis, although not my typical, it is viable to me. The market is the hesitation.
Okay. Thank you for that, Justin. All right. Let's continue forward. Chris, Dell was another stock that you've been keeping tabs on, up 2% now. What do you think of this breakout here after the strong move on earnings? Is this still within range? Or
Yeah, definitely within range. I wish it had more volume today. I still like volume, but
nobody's perfect, Chris.
thank you. I guess I'm still not convinced about this market, and it seems like, I mean, we're holding the gains. We're just a little off the high on the Qs, but we've had days like this before, and then within a day or two we reverse. So I guess that's why I'm a little, reluctant to act, and it's still an inside day, so.
Well, Webby, I know you're not on the show, so, but since you piped up,
That'll teach you.
yeah, that'll teach you. Could you give us your 2 cents on the market action here and your portfolio game plan for today?
Sure, I'd be happy to. 1% is more than enough for the follow-through day, as far as I'm concerned. I did ask Justin to do that query because that is a weird position to have a follow-through day, right? Where you just going circling back to that, not undercutting it, left us hanging on by a thread where we could still have a follow-through day. So if we close here, it's a follow-through day. Is it a compelling follow-through day? No. Are all follow-through days at work compelling? No. Are ones that are very compelling, meaning up 3 or 4%, do those have a much higher success rate? In people's mind, they do, but in reality is not the case. So why do you use a follow-through day if more than half of them fail? Is because it gives you a line in the sand so to trade against. So if we got a follow-through day today, then we would use today's low as your stop, as your exit. Now, that's a gray area because it's a gap. So really, last Friday's close is your true low. But when Justin did the work, correct me if I'm wrong, on this, Justin, when we queried that last time, we found that basically we didn't have any examples where you undercut the gap low and it didn't end up failing, correct?
Oh, geez. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure because I think we did that last year on online.
That sounds right. And again, I can't think of any that didn't meet the criteria, right?
Exactly. So it gives you something to trade against. It gives you a green light to buy something. As you guys have been saying, if Bill O'Neill, founder of IBD, were with us, he would say you just buy something. Doesn't mean you have to buy a lot. And that's where the position of the follow-through day comes into play and is very important, right? Because if this were up above the 21 day, we would have a different feel and the charts would look better. So when Justin, Charles and I put together the market school rules, which I would highly suggest people get that home study. I'm not trying to push it. I don't get any money for it or anything, but I really stand behind the work that the three of us did in putting all the pieces together. Meaning you get a follow-through day, that's just one buy signal, but you got to get your low above the 21 day and close up on the day for another buy signal. And then above a rising 50 day would be another one. And our 50 day is in a decline right now. So, I would really look into that, but let's say you're not going to, or that's just not your thing. What I would do is use my 3 day plan or 3 day rule type of thing, where you want to, after you get a follow-through day, assuming we get one today or later this week, which really high possibility of getting one because we've got the Fed, which could add a lot of volatility as well as any other news out of DC. But getting a close above your 21 day is your first real sign post follow-through day or even before follow-through day. Then your low above your 21 day and closing up on the day, that would be your next thing. Then really where if you've been kicked around in the market like I have been, frankly, and you want some extra evidence, wait for that 3 days, 3 days with your low staying above your 21 day and closing up on the day before you really start getting heavy. Now, I'm heavy right now, but those trades have really tight stops on them that where I could exit in a second if this thing starts failing. But I'm talking about giving things room, getting heavy and giving things room. You want to make progress on your trades. And that would give you time. So again, in a nutshell, wait for the follow-through day, wait for the close above the 21 day, wait for your low to get above your 21 day and close up. And then more importantly, 3 days with your low above the 21 day and closing up. And that's all I'll say, unless I'm asked another question, because I don't like to talk much.
Well,
And
thanks.
I will not be looking at volume at all. In fact, with the beta charts, I will be turning off the volume on the bottom, which is
You
my
can. It's right
favorite.
here.
Well, it's not really my favorite part of the beta, but it's,
You are happy about it.
I'm very happy about it. So,
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes, Sammy Hagar was great last week. And yes, everyone should go to Vegas to see Sammy Hagar because he's doing Montrose stuff. Oh, you didn't ask me about that. Okay, I'll leave.
I'm glad you mentioned it, Webby, because those are some great tweets you put on. I enjoyed them.
Oh, great. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Moving on.
See
Let's
how
see.
interesting this year has been already, 2026. All this stuff going on, Allie.
Yeah. What a
A one of a kind
year.
follow through, possibly. We won't look at
Yeah.
the follow through with volume without volume.
Yes. I love getting everyone's perspective. Okay, Dave, you're such a sunshiny kind of guy.
I feel like at least the sun is shining on me.
This is perfect. Perfect timing for you to take a look at a solar stock
This
from the
is
Q&A. NXT, blue dot.
Blue Dot,
We got a blue dot.
one of the best,
RS
if
line
not
new
the best
high.
one. Absolutely. Yes. Look how it's been, very volatile for even the short-term trader, I would think. But here again, all in all, you do see that uptrend in the stock since August when they had that breakout past 65, 66, double bottom there. Mostly support around the 50-day. Definitely worth a watch list name. I think it is on the IBD 50, one of the top within the IBD 50 as well. If not in the top 10, I've seen it in a lot of lists. So, I agree with your trend line buy point there. That's aggressive. I think you might be a little extended from the trend line buy point around 116, but you're close. You could maybe watch and see if it pulls back near that 118 to 120 level. But this company is, I think, being rewarded, Ali, for being more consistent with his fundamentals, regardless of whether there's tariffs on the industry or switching and policy, which has happened a lot in the last several years. This is a company that seems to be riding just a general embrace of solar power at the utility scale level to help just feed the incredible demand for electricity across the country here. So, if I were to play this, all in all, I would try to get as close as possible to the 10-week line, or as you can see in that weekly chart, knowing the personality of the stock. It really does tend to dive sharply below the 10-week line. So if you're a stickler for 10-week support, you'd probably be shaken out. I would think that once it jabs below the 10-week line, then rebounds sharply above it, that's where you buy.
Good stuff. Thank you, Dave. You brighten our day. So,
Right back at you, Allie.
let's
That's
go
why
to.
we're AC/DC,
Yeah, there
see?
you go. Rock on. Let's go to Chris and Ubiquity UI, another blue dot stock. The audience is pointing out to us it's working on a handle. And is this the Chris Gessel special trend line within the handle?
it's definitely breaking that. If you look, go to the 1 minute chart, because this is
We're really drilling down here.
So
Oh.
it's very gappy because honestly, I've said this before. I wish these companies with high stock prices would split a couple times, because then the chart would be a whole lot smoother internally. Because it looks like it goes, might gap up, gap down, go sideways. It's a little odd, but going back to the daily, that's the one. That's really the only thing that gives me pause about this one. Everything else looks good. That it's breaking the trend line with the RS blue dot looks great, and that the estimates going forward look solid. So does. Definitely looks interesting.
Could I jump in here and add to you
Please
guys,
do.
AC and Chris? This is one of the most unusual companies in our database, and for only one reason. 93% of the shares are owned by the CEO.
That is
Maybe that's why
weird.
he doesn't want to split.
That's so weird.
It's very unusual, but yeah, I did a little research on this one. I was like, wow, I was feeling the same way as you, Allie. I was like, why are they in
How
the market?
does that work? I don't know. This is 30%. Well, I guess I don't know. All
Well, maybe
right.
things have changed, but yeah, according to Alf, well, our legacy, it does still show, yeah, management owning 93%.
Wow.
And Allie, keep in mind that the mutual fund percentage
Is
will it, yeah, it's
they
going off
it,
a different
yeah.
number. Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of times I think the mutual fund percentage will go off the float
Right, I was about to
as opposed to
say,
the shares outstanding. So which
that
is
makes
what
more
that
sense.
management percentage will go off of. So yeah. A
Good
lot of times
point.
people do that scratching of the head and like, wait a minute, that doesn't add up to
Yeah. No,
100%.
thank you for verbalizing what I was thinking there. Yeah. Okay, good stuff. All right, moving on. Let's see where I want to go next. So many great questions. Okay, this is where I wanted to go, Justin. Corning, GLW, pretty tough week before last. Let's take a closer look. What do you think about it now? And you still own it? Were you trimming?
I
Did you
do
get
not.
out?
I did get out of this as,
Okay.
again, just a lot more things were not working. I was also, I think one of the last things I was holding on to was BTSG, and I did get out of
Okay.
that. I started trimming it, and then I think I finally got out on that bad break of the 50-day moving average line was my final, like, okay,
Right. And
I'm
a
done.
reminder, you were getting
Yes.
in
Right.
last
Yeah, at the
summer, fall.
breakout. So yeah, GLW Corning was another one that I was holding on to. I had bought that around 100 on the breakout. I think not on the breakout day. I think I bought it as it pulled back and then bounced. Again, it was just above 100. Had a nice move, and even though this didn't come down to the 50-day moving average line, it's one of those things where in looking at okay, how far up it was above the 50-day moving average line, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to lose that much, I know that Mike, I think it was last week, was talking about using the percent extension, shouldn't necessarily keep you out of a stock or using it as a sell rule, but. I do sometimes look at negative action and say, okay, when I'm picking my line in the sand, I have to just know myself. Can I take that kind of punch? Am I strong enough mentally? And no, I'm not. I can't be down. I think at its peak, it was up 40% from its 10-week moving average line, or something like that. And again, a lot of times these can go so much higher than you think. But, I know that I can't take a 50% drawdown, so I'm not going to use the 50-day moving average line as my line in the sand. So I have to start looking at other things, the 21-day moving average line, or I'll start looking at, recent lows, areas of support. And so I can't remember exactly when I started selling GLW, but a few days off the top, I started trimming back my position. And then I think I sold sold the remainder. I think it was either on March 4th, I was down to a very small position, and March 5th was when I was out completely. So it was a small, a small gain, but decent for how little time I had it on. And now this does it's on my radar, because like Teradyne that I brought up earlier, this is one of those that's holding above its Monday low. It's acting very well in my mind. It's right there at the 21-day moving average line. You've got kind of this area of interest, just like if you kind of draw a line. Yeah, well, you already did it. I was
Well,
looking at my chart, and I should have been looking at yours. No, so the middle line that you have, I like how you drew that.
I was This was still me, like the fourth attempt at me trying to point out the holding above the Monday low. So
Okay. Well,
it was
but
not sticking.
I like to go, to the left like you did and see, okay, is this current support kind of matching anything? And it's matching beautifully, that area over there in February. So, yeah, this is an important area that I think it's gotten support. And so, I mean, if this crosses the high of last week, this starts looking interesting to me again.
Great. All right. Another watch list name there. Okay. Let's see what time it is. Wow. All right. We've got 15 minutes. It is now time for a brief lightning mode. Then we have the industry group review, Justin.
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. So let's do a super quick lightning, Chris, ASML lightning.
That's looking interesting right there. Getting support at the 50-day and yeah, if it can break above 1400, that having that round number and can hold it, that would be good.
All right, Dave from the audience, XES.
One is new to me. I have not traded or watched this one closely, but I do like the relative strength and the test of that 21-day. It's hard to see your.
Yes.
Is that 21-day? Oh, okay. Yeah. So for the short-term trader, I think a strong bounce off this would command a follow-on buy.
Let's go to FTAI, Justin.
Not as interesting to me now that it's undercut its moving average lines. So see how it handles itself with the 200, but I'm not into it right now.
Also from the audience, CSTM, Chris.
CSTM. This is not one that I've looked at before, but it's trying to get support there at the 21-day, and I think that if could take out yesterday's high, that would be interesting.
AS from the audience, Hatman.
Unfortunately, this breakout. A second breakout attempt has failed, and therefore I would just limit it to the watch list and not try to pick the bottom here.
Okay. Let's then go to PWR, just a couple more, and then we'll do the industry group spreadsheet. Justin?
Gosh, talk about power.
Yeah, living
It's
up to
up
its
there.
name.
Yeah, and I do like how it's kind of hitting a little bit of resistance here, so this could be an area to watch and see if it can break through it.
And then INTC from the audience, Chris.
Yeah, the sales growth is a problem for me here. I mean, I want sales growth that's in the double digits and ideally above 20%.
Okay. Then we'll do AEIS, Dave.
Another example of how the chip makers have actually done pretty well this year. You can see the strong year-to-date gain, Allie, from January and a successful test near that 50-day. So if you're looking for an entry, try to be as disciplined as you can to get closer to the 50-day moving average. Otherwise, look for a new base.
All right. Dave will give you one more theme, two tickers, and then Justin's spreadsheet is where we'll go next.
You bet.
Thoughts on Ethereum and Bitcoin from the audience.
I think it's valid if you've done enough research to look for a follow-through day in these indexes. I don't know if today will be one, but maybe look for the spirit of something because this is a risky entry point, I think, because you see the moving averages are still, the ceiling and not the floor.
Okay, and so that's ETHA, and then we'll quickly look at IBIT, very similar
Very similar.
look here.
Yeah. My
Different
focus,
beast.
yeah, Ellie, my focus is still on the stablecoin, and therefore, I'm focused on trying to add to my circle position at this point, CRCL.
Really great. retake of the 50-day line for those who are interested in that kind of thing. And it's had a fantastic move since then. I'm waiting for a new base to form for that one. And then I'll take one quick one before we go to Justin. A follow-up. We briefly mentioned at the beginning of the show, SanDisk. I do own this one, picked up some shares last Monday on that reversal coming down close to the 50-day. Added the following 2 days, and I added a little bit this morning. So this is a full position for me here. And now over to Justin for the industry group spreadsheet. Take it away.
Okay, let's share this. And as a reminder, folks, this can be found at investors.com/IBDLiveFAQ, and that's where it lives. And I do have two versions: the XLSX version, and also a backward compatible for those using a 97 to 2003 Excel version. Going through it again, a lot of the same names at the top here, because we have seen some recent color changes, especially in the oil and gas area. You can see this kind of cluster of oil and gas names right here: the Oil and Gas Drilling, the Canadian Explorers and Producers, the Royalty Trust. There's that Texas Land Trust one, and then Field Services all up there. International Explorers and Producers not too far behind. Machinery equipment, also, going up there, and refining and integrated. U.S. Explorers and Producers, Transport Pipeline. Basically, hey, you're oil and gas. Guess what? Welcome to the top 50. You can also just, I'm going to note here that a lot of the IBD Live Ready list is certainly clustered in these top 50 groups. You do get some stragglers down here, especially. And lo and behold, what happened here? Oh, you know what? I think I stuck this in the wrong one. Finance property REITs, getting a lot of names there, because you know how Chris loves REITs and he just can't help himself. So it was a surprise there to see how many IBD Live Ready List. And then you got Dell all the way down here. But for the most part, you've got your IBD Live Ready List kind of regulated to these top groups, which is kind of what you want to see. Another a few areas of interest, the data storage, so much strength there. STX and WDC are the ones that are set up right now, but you can make an argument that SanDisk, I do have a position in SanDisk myself, and Micron, I do have a position in that myself, that those are also looking very strong in terms of how they've held up. And then the fiber optics, we talked about Corning, which actually isn't in that group, but I kind of put it in there because it has a lot of that fiber optics exposure. And then look, the semiconductor equipment names, have some decent amount in there. So these are certainly areas to watch, as well as oil and gas. Oil and gas might be a little bit tougher right now because of how news dependent it will be. As I mean, that's the case with the entire market right now. But yeah, certainly worth noting where that strength is. In terms of 1 week percentage moves, you can see that for last week, again, it was a pretty poor close, but the computer data storage and fiber optics, energy, coal, solar, so some of the other areas outside of oil getting a little bit of a boost last week. Chemicals, agricultural, you got a lot of the fertilizers in there. It was also interesting that, oh, you know what, I meant to discuss this, but chemicals basic was another one that came to my mind. Whether it's some of the helium and a lot of these other chemicals that are having shortages, and so you're seeing some big gains there, and again, very news related in that regard. But yeah, the numbers are pretty impressive for some of these best performing groups, but quickly dwindle down. And the vast majority of groups were down last week, leading on the downside. You had the computer software, financial, retail specialty, computer tech services and integrated services, the transportation truck. So still a lot of damage out there, as you can see, some pretty big drops for those groups last week. Taking a look at the watch list changes week to week, some of the areas that got added: oil and gas integrated, computer software enterprise. Remember, this was like the stuff way back when, but computer software enterprise has been not doing great for a while here, but that added a couple names. And then U.S. Explorers and Producers, the agricultural operations, chemicals, agriculture, so those are some of the areas that got adds. In terms of subtractions, We got some subtractions from the mining gold, silver gems, transportation truck, medical products, and then over to the growth 250. In terms of changes there, we saw some drops off for the aerospace defense area, machinery general, industrial, medical products, security, safety. Some mining gold, silver gems, that lost one. But where the ads were, biomed, biotech coming back, and utilities. So XLU was holding up a little bit better last week. There was a little bit more maybe flight to safety as opposed to the AI theme that we've been seeing. But again, as we saw with Quanta Services, PWR, there still is certainly that interest in the AI adjacent areas. And then, of course, Chris brought up VIX. So there is still that interest. So where is the Growth 250 and watch list gravitated towards? Still very heavy in the aerospace defense, mining gold, silver gems, biomed, biotech, and that oil and gas transport pipeline. And semiconductor equipment rounding up the Growth 250. Look at that, the property REITs right there, and then a number of US, the oil and gas, including the refiners, the US explorers and producers, and integrated, kind of rounding out the top groups for the Growth 250. And at the IBD Live watch list, you're seeing kind of similar action there. Aerospace defense, mining gold, silver gems, you got the oil and gas integrated, data storage, of course, we got that quartet that's doing so well in that space, heavy construction, power equipment, and look, property REITs making it up there because, again, Chris loves them so much. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Again, investors.com/IBDLive FAQ. Download it yourself, play around with it, and let me know if you have any questions. You are on mute.
Thank you. Payback. Final thoughts from everyone, and I want a ticker from all of you of what's at the top of your ready list if we do get a follow-through day today. So I'm going to share and take a look at the market. Chris, final thoughts starting with you.
Well, as far as stock, we've talked about it a couple times, and that would be Dell. I'm also looking at Karman, KRMN. I was thinking that this base was deeper than the prior one, but it turns out they're both 38%. So I don't like that it round tripped that whole gain, but that's one I'm looking at, although it doesn't look like it's doing great right now. The market has pulled off, although it's reversed higher off the its intraday low, basically came down to the morning low if we go to the 5 minute chart. Right there. So came near there. And we'll see if it can hold this. I mean, it would not be great if this thing rolls over and fills that gap. But now the other piece is let's take a look. The last time I, yeah, so NASDAQ volume is actually running lower right now. Let me just reload the page, make sure that's still the case.
Go to the clean version.
And take volume off.
Yeah. So and then we'll also take a look at dollar volume. I don't know. We get that at the end of the day, but so at least right now, even though we're up more than 1%, we wouldn't have the volume behind it.
So, which brings up a question that we get a lot is, say volume is running higher than average, we don't get the final volume anyway until after the close. So people always ask, well, do I buy the day of, or do I buy the following day? How do you in practice handle that, Chris? I feel like a lot of folks on the team, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck,
Yeah, definitely.
We're
We
not waiting
don't to,
until tomorrow.
if the volume's up 10 or 20%, you don't worry about it. When it's something like it is today, that's an issue. But the yeah, and again, it's still an inside day. I mean, I'd love to see how many inside days near the low, work.
Well,
Justin, can you figure that out for us?
Justin, we're
I'm sorry, I was working on my other project. What were you
I
looking
think that I think that
at?
is what we're
Oh, okay, yeah. So
yeah, he's
I
working on
was
it.
doing one, the little tweak, because we're gonna look at day four and after, because as I was doing the first pass, a lot of times your low will be very close on day two, day three, but we really want to see day four when you could be getting a follow-through day. What happens? So I'm kind of changing
I
the
get.
logic on that. So
Awesome.
I'll have that for you shortly, but
Great.
unfortunately, just
And
after we're
Chris
done
has to
here.
go. That's fine. For a meeting, Dave, final thoughts from you.
Ali, the NASDAQ is really representing strength in tech. Every one of the eight mega cap eight stocks, from Avago to Amazon to Meta to Microsoft, are all up. It's interesting that the Barron's cover, latest one, Microsoft is ready for AI battle. And then today's IBD Weekly, we touched upon it. This is all about the the memory stocks. A little shout out to the 80s. You see, there's the CD-ROM right there, posing as the disk. And we were talking about the 80s. It's like, oh, this is the 80s redux of technology. Well, the memory storage stocks are still doing well. We just added SNDK, SanDisk. People congratulating you, Ali, on your trade in that, by the way. And that is breaking
Thank
out.
you.
That's breaking out, still in buy range from the double bottom there. I've added a little bit to my own portfolio. I plan to do that with SanDisk as well. But Dell, DELL, Chris just mentioned that one. That's also a new quarter position alongside SanDisk for leaderboard. And I also want to highlight just quickly four names in nuclear that's showing a little bit of divergence here. We noticed that OKLO continues to struggle after it had a really strong short-term move last year. OKLO, 52 relative strength. You look at BWXT. That one is a provider of equipment for nuclear power plants, doing a little better. You can see that actually has real earnings and sales. But even better is one that Jonathan had just highlighted, CWEN. I'm not sure if this is completely new nuclear, but it is a power related name. Maybe it's I don't I'm sorry, I don't know much about this company, but I do respect the sales and the possibility that earnings are going to come back strong, as you can see in the 2027 estimate. This is a really strong stock. I wouldn't be chasing this, but I think there's a lot of opportunity for all of us to look into nuclear amidst the Iran war and the necessity for a real wide range of energy sources. Finally, just keep an eye on how the stock market acts amidst this very important GTC conference regarding AI. We still have Jensen Huang's keynote address coming up in about 3 hours. I still maintain a positive outlook on Nvidia and still think it's one of the greatest stocks of our investing lifetime.
All right. We'll definitely be keeping a close watch on news out of that event. And like you said, the impact on the market and, of course, the AI theme and the leaders there. Okay, Justin, wrap us up. Anything else to add?
I think it's going to be just interesting to see how this plays out. Again, I'm going to do that research, and I'm going to do a research on a few stocks. So Kaba that we mentioned earlier, I was looking at that 8648 as an area to be, of interest. It's past that. It got above that, so that's interesting. SanDisk that you brought up, I'm probably going to be looking at adding to my position there. As it. I like having the early entry and then using kind of a traditional entry as well
Yes.
as an add point. So I was waiting for a restriction period to end on that to add to my position. And then another one, just in looking at things that were, again, holding up well in the top of their range, Sphere also caught my eye.
Yes.
This is one that had a strong gap up on earnings, and then it's gone kind of sideways, and looks like it
Check out the
came right back
weekly.
to the yeah came right back to the top of that gap up low, and has really, kind of held the gains nicely. So see if this bounce has anything to it. And one more stock, just because very news related, but let's look at Clear Secure, ticker symbol YOU. This was another one where big move on its last earnings report, really holding those gains nicely. So again, this is just one of those looks that I really like. And maybe news related again, folks are saying, hey, get your Clear free trial so you can maybe get through TSA a little bit easier for spring break 2026. We'll see. We have a spring break trip coming up ourselves to Boston, so we're looking at that ourselves. My wife and I already have it, but we might need it for grandma and my son as well.
All right, good stuff. I'm cautiously optimistic here, but we'll have to see how the day plays out. We have seen, a lot of fading action, so I don't want to just go all in. Oh, we're seeing Sandisk, and
Monday gap up,
Micron,
right?
Monday gap up. So we have to be nimble here. We did undercut that 200-day on Friday just a little bit, but I always prefer to lean bullish, so I am ready to add more exposure as warranted. Have a couple of things that are working. I got rid of my QQQ on Friday, but someone asked me, "Well, why didn't you go with TQQQ like you usually do?" This is exactly what happened on Friday. It's exactly why I'm not ready to go guns a blazing just yet, but cautiously optimistic. Webby?
Hey, I just wanted to add a couple of things because I'm not sure if I was clear before. I was saying I was heavy. I can go heavy intraday, all the time and cut back. I just didn't want people to think that they should go heavy. We've been in a chop environment since October. And so if we get a follow through day, you can just buy a 1% position and still be in line with what Bill would say to do. And there were times when we were getting chopped up internally, regardless of what the market was doing, where he would cap all of the PMs at a total invested amount of 1%. So not 1% per position, but total invested at 1%. So don't feel like you have to go heavy. If you are seeing things set up that look right, then you can trade those and you can trade them in a heavy way as long as you have an exit strategy on there. But I just didn't want to give people the wrong impression because I saw some comments in the Q&A. So just be careful and trade your own way. If that's heavy, trade heavy. If it's light, trade light. That's it.
Right. Thanks, everyone. That is it from us today. We're gonna get the episode up on investors.com/IBDLive shortly, along with later today our ready list, watch list, and edited Q&A. Be sure, as always, to keep tabs on investors.com throughout the trading day and beyond for all the latest stock market news and analysis. And we'll be back at the close for our Stock Market Today video. And then the Tuesday crew, as you covered, looking forward to it. We'll see you then, everyone. Thanks so much. Bye now.